Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Morning Glory with PJ and Jim here on Radio Nova. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's the big one.
Oh, it is the big one. Yeah, we're here. It's a very special Morning Glory, obviously, being St. Patrick's Day. I mean, I know that's in a different kind of environment. You might have thought, no, I'm sure they'll have St. Patrick's Day off.
Yeah, I know.
You know, to relax and enjoy themselves.
Why not? Not likely. On the day where Dublin becomes the city of a thousand flutes, we are here working away.
That is
as the Irish dancing of millions of Americans tramps across O'Connell Street. We're here doing our business.
Yeah, we figured like the least we could do is rock up for a couple of hours of old entertainment and shenanigans to start the ball rolling on a St. Patrick's Day. What have you plans for today? Have you?
I love going into the city on St. Patrick's Day. I love that. I try and get out.
You're not frightened, no?
I get out before the night comes. I'll be honest with you. I like getting in nice and early and having a few sneaky fizzies.
Right.
And then getting out before the night falls, because as you know, a lot of humans turn into werewolves tonight.
It is an unusual.
When they're around town,
yeah. It's a very special gathering.
It is, yeah. Mm. But I love going in and having a look and soaking up a little bit of, you know, the buzz and the atmosphere around. Yeah, I think it's good fun.
And do you do the actual parade thing? Would you stand and look at the parade stuff going by?
No. But you know what? It does be on telly in some of the pubs sometimes. You know, they put it on the telly. And there's something so... I love the parade on TV. You know the way it's like.
Yeah.
And here we are now with Joe McHoolaharty. You know those American names that Irish people don't have.
Yeah.
Joe McHoolaharty.
Whose parents are from Mayo.
Yeah. And he's come all the way from Pennsylvania. And then it's like, we just think this is the most beautiful day. And there's a lad behind him with a sack of cans running down the street. I just love it. It's such a brilliant thing watching it on telly. I love it.
Have you ever been involved in the parade? Have you?
Once as Jake Stevens one year.
No way.
Yeah.
You didn't lead it, did you?
No. Guess what? I was so excited, right? They asked me to do coverage on RTE for the day of the parade. I was like, I couldn't believe it. So I was going to get to talk to Mr. Mickey McGillaharty.
So you would have been there going, doing the old and whatever. You would have done it in full Jake.
Yeah.
Interviewing the crowd and everything.
Exactly. And Catherine Thomas was doing it as well, right? She was there doing it.
Right.
Blondage was there doing it.
Oh, the stars were
right. I did my bit and I walked out and they cut it. They never put it on air. Yeah, because it was brutal. And then Catherine Thomas, do you know what she says to me?
What?
She says, you are brilliant. And I went, how do you know? I wasn't even on. And she was just trying to be nice.
Oh, no.
She never even saw it. Yeah.
Nothing like a good bit of patronising to...
Yeah, yeah.
To just make you feel even worse.
Yeah, I deserved it, yeah.
Oh.
So I've never been really a part of it. I was a rejected part of it.
So is that why you like going in every year in the hope that somebody will spot you and include you?
They'll just go, our marshal has taken ill. I'll do it.
This is my moment.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
It is a special one for St. Patrick's Day, but we felt we should include the birthdays.
Yeah, we should. Why not? Yeah,
why not?
For the day that's in it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, I have to confess, strangely enough, I don't have many. In fact, I'm not even sure I have any Irish ones.
You're joking.
Yeah.
For the day that's in it.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
But anyway... Nonetheless, right, there are a few well-known birthdays in there. A few Hollywood types floating about the place today celebrating their birthday. Kurt Russell,
yes.
Celebrates his birthday on St. Paddy's Day.
Okay, surely these people, like Kurt Russell, would claim he has Irish sort of heritage in him of some description.
It'd be kind of hard with him, wouldn't it?
We do it to every American. We did it to Obama. We gave him a petrol station. We can do it to Kurt Russell.
Fair point.
I'd fill up at Kurt Russell's petrol station, I would. No problem.
Yeah. Isn't Kurt Russell the one with a very exaggerated dimple in his chin?
Yeah, you could use him as a snooker thing. You could, like, if you're
as playing, a rest.
Yeah, you could grab him by the ankle.
If you could lie his head back, you could use him as a rest.
Yeah, you could do a trick shot with his chin, yeah.
And of course, is he still with Goldie Hawn?
Is he?
I don't know.
Lucky man if he is. She's always been sort of incredible, hasn't she?
Yeah.
She's one of those, she was good looking, funny, talented, she had everything.
And did Goldie Hawn, as you would say, interfere with herself when it came to the old plastic surgery?
I think she may have done a bit of work done around the chin and cheeks area. I think
she's probably just jealous of Kurt's chin.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Can I have a snooker rest as well?
Yeah, she could probably fit her whole forehead into that joke, in fairness. But Kurt Russell's not a young man. I mean, he'd be like 81 maybe.
71.
Oh wow, I was way off.
71 for him, right? What about, we'll stick with the old American actors, Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe, he's brilliant, isn't he? I love Rob Lowe.
I don't know a lot that he was in.
Well, he was in Parks and Rec, and I loved watching Parks and Rec, and he was the funniest character in it.
I do sort of remember him a little bit in The West Wing.
Oh, yeah, when he was serious.
Yeah.
He's not a serious actor anymore.
Oh, right.
He definitely interfered with himself. His head looks completely made of mala. He does. He looks like a mala.
Does it?
He looks like a mala version of himself, yeah.
Wow.
But he's gassed. Like, he's sort of... I think he kind of gets that... He can. He's a bit of a send-up of himself now, if you know what
I
mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's a bit like... he's kind of like... He's decided that he's now basically sort of a slightly less mad Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like what Charlie Sheen would have been if he didn't go completely off the rails.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But I'd say, what age is he? He may be 53.
Bit older than that, 58.
Oh, okay.
58
right.
For Ellen.
It's hard to know when you've got a mall ahead. It's
well,
very
exactly.
Hard to tell the difference. Yeah.
I mean, there may be parts of them that are only 53.
That's true, yeah.
So, I feel like I should almost nearly give you half a point for that.
Yeah.
Just in case. Now, here's one for you, right? You were a fan of Dallas, weren't you?
I loved it.
Yeah, right. Well, it's Patrick Duffy's birthday today.
Brilliant.
Now, with a name like Patrick Duffy, if you don't have Irish...
Yeah, there's something
something's
very
wrong. Somebody's
weird.
Been,
yeah.
Somebody's lying to you.
100% he is Irish in him. He was Bobby, of course, famously Bobby Ewing.
Bobby Ewing,
who
yeah.
had the worst ever comeback of a TV show in the history of all television.
Yeah.
2 years we watched it. 2 years trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
And 2 years of Sue Ellen getting sober. Do you remember? And she was completely sober and got away from JR. And yeah. she was free. And Cliff Barnes had bought his, built his own empire.
God, you were a serious Dallas
oh,
fan.
Oh, I was, yeah,
wow.
yeah. Cliff Barnes and built his own empire.
I was a Dallas fan, but more a Victoria Principal fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, weren't we all? And then Bobby came back in the shower and there was poor old Sue Ellen was back on the sauce. And,
oh, my God.
Oh, and JR was as mean as ever. It was just reversed.
Whose dream was it again?
It was Pam's.
Was it Pam's?
Yeah.
Pam. Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, Pam went to sleep with him in the shower and he woke up when the taps went off. Or something.
I'll tell you something. With the amount of time that he spent in that shower, it was a good job that he was the man from Atlantis. Do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
With his webbed hands and all.
And he used to swim like Flipper.
Yeah,
he used
that's
to
right.
wriggle in the water, yeah.
What a mad show that was. But I tell you something, very good preparation for having to spend 2 years in a shower.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, 100%.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Oh, it's very impressive.
I'd say he's 73, is he?
Yes, he is!
Oh, there we go. Look at that.
Oh, I don't believe it.
One in the sack.
That's impressive. Right, we're going to stick with the actors. Somewhat less well-known. I know you're more Star Trek than Star Wars.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
But John Boyega is celebrating his birthday today. Oh, part of kind of the new Star Wars. You know, all the Force Awakens.
Yeah, can't
Last
get into
Jedi,
that.
You know, I haven't seen any of them.
Yeah, I
in
can't.
In fact, I'm not sure I've seen anything after Return of the Jedi.
That's the last time you were in the cinema. 1982.
I think that's quite possibly true. And then when you see, and then they start doing, so you start doing prequels, right?
Yeah.
And then you've done a few, and then they do a sequel, and you're not, you don't know which end is
don't
up.
Don't know which end
which
is up,
Which
is yeah.
going, where was this in the scheme of things?
I know.
And then they started changing the names. They started calling 1-3.
That's right,
and three,
yeah.
6.
And yeah.
All that sort of, and 6-1.
I know, yeah. You'd need a degree in mathematics just to be able to figure out what order to watch them in.
I know, yeah.
It is, God, yeah, it's a bit
anyway,
crazy.
Anyway, John Boyega, good actor, but he's in the new kind of Star Wars.
I don't know. I don't think I know which person he is.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. It's a significant birthday for
okay,
him.
Okay, right.
Okay. And how else can I, what else, what other clue can I kind of give you? He's not an old man, certainly not.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So
I'll say he's 30.
Yeah!
Ah, look at this, lads. We could do a hat trick on Patrick's Day.
For you, being a Patrick.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's only just dawned on me that that's the case. You're a Paddy Joe.
I know, isn't it mad?
So you're a Patrick Joe.
And I have a brother called Patrick as well. Isn't that mad?
That's impressive.
Only in Ireland can we have two Patrick brothers.
Bloody confusing, but that's oh, my God. Right.
I remember going to a gig
and
once.
Were you known as Patrick 1 or Patrick 2?
I don't know. I don't know, really.
I meant the other Patrick.
I remember going to a gig with Paddy Courtney, Pat Devine and Patrick McDonald, right?
Yeah.
And the guard stopped us.
Yeah.
A car full of Patricks. Like, literally four Patricks. It was just...
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
It literally is like the start of a joke.
It is, yeah, yeah.
Four Paddies are in the car, right?
Yeah, one of them says... yeah, it feels like a joke.
Right, okay. Where am I now? I've lost my track.
Oh, sorry.
What was I on to?
Patrick.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'll tell you something, right? So, you could be getting it. I've got two more for you to have a go at, right? They're both sort of music-y.
Okay.
All right. Do you remember Patty Boyd? Patty Boyd famously was married to both George Harrison and Eric Clapton.
Oh, wow.
Obviously not at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so she knows her rock stars.
She knows her rock stars, yeah.
And to be honest with you, after that, I know very little about her.
To be honest, I don't know much about her either.
It's kind of famous by association. So I suppose if you were to punt at what sort of age the likes of George Harrison and Eric Clapton were.
Yeah, I'd have a stab then that she's like 76.
Oh, 78.
Oh, really?
78.
Not bad.
Now, this one might be a tough one for you. Good one for me, because I was a big Thin Lizzy fan, right? But today is the birthday of Scott Gorham, right? Who, the famous Thin Lizzy guitarist, won for the Nova Nation on this day. What clue can I give you about him? It's his birthday.
Oh, yeah.
I
wouldn't know him if he was walking down the road, probably, because he was the fella in the let's face it was all really about Phil Innes, wasn't it? Phil Innes and his band, wasn't it? That was what it was, really, you know. Yeah. I was in Thin Lizzy, Grant, so what? Like, yeah.
Were you Phil Innes? No, it wasn't. Yeah. Well then
doesn't matter, does it? Yeah. That's like saying I was on the bus, I drove a bus, but you didn't, like, you were a passenger. So I gotta say, he's 68.
Not bad, to be fair. 71.
Okay, not too bad. I'll give myself
a pat
on the back.
Two, that's very good today, Paddy.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, and sure, with you being a Paddy, let's just make it a three.
Let's
anyway.
Do it, yeah.
How old are you, PJ?
46.
Well done, you win.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Anyway, it is St. Patrick's Day, and apparently if you want to have your own, you know, like, there's a lot of merchandise happens on St. Patrick's Day, you know? It's a very, obviously there's the shamrock, and there's the various hats, and there's people selling all sorts of whatever.
Oh, yeah, there'll be Americans walking around in t-shirts and, you know, all that shit.
If you've, you know, slightly more money to spend.
Yeah, yeah, get yourself an island. There's an island for sale in Loch Corrib, off the coast of Galway.
Wow.
Your own island. Imagine buying that for yourself on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh my God.
I mean, that'd be some gift. And it's there. I mean, stone walls, beautiful hedgerows, it says, large mature trees. There's one house on it, I think. There's two farm buildings on it.
Right.
So there is. And it's going for the price, $245,000 up to $770,000, which is quite a range.
I was just
going
to say, yeah. What's going to decide that? That seems a bit weird.
It's a bit of a mad price. I suppose it's up for the bidding war, but sure, in fairness, you'd only get a bed sitting Dunleary for that.
Yeah.
So I'll get
245 for potentially for an entire island.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? What would you do if you had your own island?
Nothing.
Oh, I declare my own free state.
Yeah.
I'd design my own flag. I would. I'd put up a border post and everything. I would.
Would you?
Yeah. I'd put in a landing tax so everyone had to give me a chocolate orange when they came in.
Oh, you'd let people in, would you?
Well, only like, you'd have to do holiday visas and that, you know.
Oh, yeah,
limited time, a 2-hour holiday visa.
Yeah. Because surely the whole benefit of having an island is nobody else being there.
Yeah, there'd be that. Citizenship would be difficult now.
It would be,
and there'd be a really strict test.
Would you do your own passport and everything?
Oh, yeah. 100%. And it'll have to be issued by me. I know my own handwriting, so you couldn't forge it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And would you draw little pictures on the passports and everything? Just to make it, like, you know, make it look a bit official and all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You'd have to get the crayons out and go for it full on.
Yeah. Instead of a harp, there'd be a dirty pigeon. You know, big dirty pigeon. Nothing would be more... It's sort of Dublin Island, I'd call it, you know.
Yeah.
For dubs who are, for some reason, have to leave their own home.
Right.
And they...
Now you're making it sound like a prison.
I am, actually.
Making it sound like a prison island.
I am,
for dubs that have to leave their own home.
I am making it sound like Spike Island. I've just taken all the crack out of it, haven't I?
Oh, I tell you.
Yeah.
I suppose the one small drawback about island life would be, you know, if you had to nip to the shops, like. Do you know what I mean?
I never thought of that.
If you fancy just, you know, nipping to the booze, or just for, you know, watch a match maybe or something.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you'd have to set up your own little chi bean, you know, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd have to do all that sort of stuff.
And then you'd have to fulfil all of the roles in it. You'd have to be your own barman. And you'd have to throw yourself out when you got stroppy.
Yeah, I know. That's when you have an argument with yourself every day. Yeah. Actually, maybe I'm not.
You've had enough. I'll tell you when I've had enough.
Says who? I own this place.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
You know, Paddy's Day, obviously, you have to kind of focus on all of the truly great things about Ireland.
Yeah, and of course, painting your body green.
Yes.
And wearing shamrock on your chest like you're a sort of weird Tom Jones.
Yes, all of that is possible. And it also, you know, in celebrating the greatness of Ireland, you've got to also give a nod to the truly great Irish people.
Absolutely.
And there are very few greater Irish people than our guest, Ding Dong Denny O'Reilly. Good morning to you, sir.
How's it going, Sham? How are you?
Very well. Very good. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. You must absolutely love St. Patrick's Day. It must be like your Christmas Day, is it?
Well, I like the day because, you know, everybody's drinking. There's a great buzz in the boozers and that, you know. But, like, me personally, I don't understand why we had to name our national day after St. Patrick. I mean, I don't think he's a true representation of Irish people. I mean, he's British for a start, but I mean, I bet he was a teetotaler. Do you know what I mean? Or whatever the equivalent of tea was back then, mud and water. You know, it's the wrong message to the world. Before he came along, we were having the crack. Drinking, fighting, killing, puking, you know, all that type of thing. And he comes over and says, no, we're not having that. You know, people come to Ireland to get drunk and have the crack. Isn't that right? You know what I mean? Not to check out what the monks got up to, you know, drawn books and the like, you know. I think we should have picked someone, you know, Wolf Tone or Pádraig Pearse or Conor McGregor or someone like that. Real true, great Irish man. You know, and the snakes as well. You know, like, why did he get rid of them? You know, my theory is, you know, because looking in the Book of Kells and all these books that his buddies, the monks, would have been doing, you know, there's snakes everywhere in them books. You know, wriggling up letters, wriggling up people's legs. I mean, what's going on there? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, maybe that's why he got rid of them, you know.
Oh, maybe so.
Maybe so, oh, yeah. So he brought Christianity to Ireland. You don't think that's a good thing at all?
I'm happy enough with that because, you know, the Christianity and all that and the Catholicism, whatever, with that. But I don't think he did a great job of it, personally.
Really?
You know, I mean, you know, and I don't know about that story about the shamrock. I mean, where did he get the shamrock, like, just off the ground? I've never seen shamrock lying around the place. Have you? No, you have to pay through the bloody nose for it. You know, we're supposed to believe that Irish... And we're supposed to think that Irish people couldn't get their head around the Blessed Trinity idea. Three people and the one God. I mean, come on. You know, that he had to get a shamrock. Oh, now we get it. Yeah. You know, a true Irish man who's been as drunk as I do sees double and treble on a regular basis. I think drink would have been a better way, you know, to get the message across to the Irish people. I think we could relate to that better.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I suppose
the other thing now, though, is that at least, you know, the parade, it's sort of spread out a little bit. It sort of focuses more on really the kind of Celtic tradition, really, doesn't it now, more than just the Christianity stuff, don't you think?
Oh, it does, yeah. Oh, yeah, it does that. But now, not that I have much time for the Celts pouncing around in skirts and all that. No. Come on. And the parade these days, it's just all them big Mockness heads, you know, big heads, you know, we've lost a run of ourselves. There's ne'er a banjo, a tin whistle or a Brian Boru harp to be seen, is there? You know, more likely to see a new age didgeridoo. Didgeridoo don't, as I prefer to call them, you know what I mean? God be with the days, you know, of Paddy's days years ago, where the guards would just bait a few of the old Dublin characters out onto the street so we could laugh at them. You know, people like Bang Bang and Brother Gang Bang and the Arse Finn. Did you ever hear of him? He'd sit in your face for two bob. And Doggy Styles, who would spend his day in the zoo barking at the lions and tigers. And then there was a fella, Johnny the Spider Morphy, and he was named because he was born with eight legs. a very, very difficult man to fight because you couldn't pick which two to kick between. But, you know, but it is sad. Do you miss the old Dublin like me? Do you? You know, like
I do miss the old Dublin.
You know, the donkey fight in the Pimlico. You know, and the famous Feather Market. Remember that? It was blown away in the Gaelic Wind in 1953. Sadly, gone too.
Oh my God!
And you know what? Too, the right turn from George's Street onto Dane Street.
That's that's a sad loss, Ding Dong. It surely is.
It surely is, Ding Dong. Yeah. I'm nearly afraid to ask, how will Ding Dong celebrate St. Patrick's Day then?
Probably by drinking myself into oblivion. You know, I urge everyone to drink until till they puke up the Irish flag. Drink the lining of your stomach. White the milk used to settle the bag. And of course, orange for the carrots. You know, for some reason, there's carrots in there.
You know. Oh my God! Yeah. Oh, wow, that's there's no real comeback from that. That's a hell of a way.
That's a hell of a piece of advice.
Can we listen? Just while we have you, just slightly away from the St. Patrick's Day thing for a minute. Obviously, we've just come out of a very strange time for the whole world. How did you get on yourself and get over the old COVID time and all that?
It was difficult, I mean, but my lockdown went quite well. Locked down is exactly how I was. You know, I was a bit annoyed that in the supermarket, you know, they had this thing there in Super Value in Crumlin, they had a thing, you know, that you're only limited to two items for certain things. And I was, and the only items that they actually had limited was trays of beer. Because I asked about it. And yeah, so, but one thing did make me proud about the Irish in the whole COVID thing was, made us realise how important drink was to us. Other countries, the headlines would be about schools and we got to get the children back. No, in Ireland, it was open the pubs, five articles, even in poncy things like the Irish Times, it would be like all about getting the drink back on, you know. And at last, they admitted something, a conspiracy theory, I would say, where the government and all the rest of the doctors and all said that basically drink is the cure for mental health. Do you remember they were saying that?
I think I missed that one.
No, they were saying that we open the pubs because people's mental health is suffering because they can't get drunk. And that, I've always believed that, you know. You know, although I drink to get mental.
Right. You know what I mean? Oh, wow. Listen, Ding Dong, the thing about it, there's something I need to break to you on, and today seems to be an appropriate day to really tell you this, because I'm sitting here with PJ or whatever on this day, the most Irish of Irish days, and PJ is not a fan of one of the greatest Irish dishes of them all.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like a coddle.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Ding Dong.
Oh, I don't know. I got this. It's a fantastic. What can I say? It's the best food of all. It's you probably can. You're a young fellow and you were brought up with new traditions like best before dates and all this carry on. It was probably best before it got best after. Best before it went cold and best after 25 pints, you know. So that was the kind of drink. Lined the stomach if you had it. And then it was also still there when you came back from the door.
Come here, I believe it's a big party. Is it true you have a song for it?
Oh, I do, yes. I have a song called The Coddle Song.
Any chance we could get it? Could we hear it?
Get a few bars of it, yeah?
Yeah, I'll give it a go here. Yeah, I have the old guitar and I'll give it a go. Yeah, so you're up. You can sing along in the chorus if you want. Right. If you're able to sing, I don't know.
To be honest, but anyway.
It'd sound more like we're all drunk and having a laugh, but anyway, if you're out young. So anyway, should we go for it, yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. There's nothing like a coddle when in from the boozer you waddle.
You're starting to gag, 'twill settle the bag. There's nothing like a cuddle. There's nothing like a cuddle. I've experienced incredible things. I have eaten with princes and kings. Had me dirty old loves on some serious bling, and me lips on an archbishop's ring. I had Edith on tears on her knees, got aware from young Camerden Diaz. Had real human flesh, all lovely and fresh, with a glass of champagne if you please. But there's nothing like a cuddle when in from the boozer you huddle. You're starting to gag, 'twill settle the bag. There's nothing like a cuddle. There's nothing like a cuddle. They go on about Michelin stars. They can go and stick them up their arse. Forget Michelin Square. If you want a spare tire, try a cuddle and a few bleeding jars. I get so overcome at the sight, at those sausages all wobbly and white, that the lads start to say that maybe I'm gay, and I'm wondering if maybe they're right. 'Cause there's nothing like a cuddle when in from the boozer you waddle. You're starting to gag, 'twill settle the bag. There's nothing like a cuddle. There's nothing like a cuddle.
Yay! Hey! Oh my, is there any greater celebration of Irishness than that? Brilliant, ding dong, that was absolutely fantastic. Fair play to you. Listen, enjoy the rest of St. Paddy's Day. Thanks a million for coming on and thanks, chatting both to us. I appreciate it, it's very good.
Yeah, thanks, Captain. Yeah,
right. Good stuff, thanks, ding dong. Today, or now would be a very good time to say, this would be a good time to say, always drink responsibly.
Always drink responsibly. Do not take this man's advice.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
On this St. Patrick's Day, this proud Irish day, I want to know, do you know our national anthem?
Do I know? Would I know it if I heard it? Yes.
No, not would you recognise it. Oh yeah, that's the one. I mean, would you actually know our national anthem?
God, that's a tough one. I think so.
Right. You see,
I haven't sang along in so long, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you see, I would say I do.
Yeah.
And then, but then you see, the thing about it is, right, now I would imagine that I'm in the majority here, right? I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
You know the way you get, so you do the kind of, Shana Fina Fall, right, okay, yeah. And then you get through a little bit, and then there's, and you know what I mean? And you do that little, so I'm afraid I fall into that
I think that's the majority of people, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But you reckon you'd know it word for word, would you?
I don't know if they're the actual words.
Very good.
Do you know what I mean? So it's Sheena Fianna Fáil.
Yeah.
A Toffee Alligarn. Bwein dar slu. Mar.
Heart in the honig room.
Fame was necessair. Shin shear a shan shear fast.
That's where I'd be going.
Ni og far. Fwein shear on off. Fwein tra. An on the hens and barn of whale. And then there's something called Bosch No Sale.
Come on,
Come on, get up there.
You have to do that because the only time we ever sing it is at football matches.
Yeah, yeah, but that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a new book out and they're trying to teach kids the national anthem. And the inspiration for the book was a woman went to a big sporting event.
Right.
And she realised that everyone around her was going, sure, the hell. And the oak with the howl and the own. Running there and the Brits are out the back. So they said,
yeah. Exactly. You know, that. And I tell you something, I wouldn't have a single idea of the. You know the way there's an English version, which you should never be singing anyway.
Yeah, the soldier song.
The soldier song, like where it's translated or whatever it is. I wouldn't have a word.
Not, I don't know any. Well, see, all those words we just sang.
Yeah.
I don't know what one of them means.
No, me neither.
Not
me neither.
One.
That's what I'm saying, because you're just singing phonetically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If somebody said, like, so just slow down and say them to me, don't be ridiculous.
Are you mad?
Say them. What's that about?
I wouldn't have a clue. Yeah.
Of course, I mean, you know, it does beg the question whether or not it might just be easier if we just adopted Ireland's call or something.
Oh my God, Jim, don't say it. Please don't say it. There'll be people out there who think you're serious.
No.
Oh my God, that song.
I'm only saying that because I know how much PJ hates that song.
Oh, I absolutely hate that song. Oh, it's the worst song ever. I'm actually getting upset thinking about it. Yeah, I know Phil Coulter wrote it, who's an amazing songwriter.
Oh my God, iconic, in fairness.
And it took him ages to get it right because he had to write it with, so he had to jump the political barbed wire, Catholic and Protestant, North and South, Loyalist and Republican. He had to try and make it work for everybody.
Wow.
And unfortunately, when you make something work for everybody, it works for nobody.
Exactly. Don't they say that a camel is a horse designed by a committee?
Yes. And that song is the greatest camel. It's an audible camel. That song.
And so with this book for kids, is that going to solve the problem now? Is that going to fix it all?
I don't know. It's a good idea though. It's sort of like, it's going with illustrations and it teaches them bit by bit and they'll understand what it all means. And it's a campaign to sort of make sure all kids know the national anthem, which is a good idea.
Yeah, it would be a good idea.
Yeah.
As opposed to, is it written phonetically like that?
Oh, you better be.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it terrible? Because I know all the words.
No chance of getting a couple of free copies, is there?
I'll get you a copy, no problem. Yeah. I'd say, I know all the words to Killing Me Soft. And I don't know the words to this.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
It's a very special edition of Our Man at the Movies. Clint Dreeberg, brought to you by Manhattan Popcorn, Ireland's favourite popcorn, manhattan.ie. I'm assuming it's going to be just wall-to-wall Irishness. There'll be shamrocks and leprechauns and all sorts.
Jeez. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, I got you 50% Irish.
Oh, right.
And Conas Atatu, by the way.
Oh, Tom.
Oh, very good. You know, did you know our Clint was actually learning Irish?
I did not know this.
Every Monday at midday, that's where I disappear, PJ.
You're kidding me.
I go off to Irish class with my 9 other classmates.
Right.
And try and try and try.
Brilliant.
Who made it so hard, this silly Irish language?
It's so hard that the national people can't speak it.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, that's probably the most Irish thing you can do is not being able to speak Irish.
Oh, well, then I'm good. Then.
Yeah, it's going
I'll
well.
Get there. Maybe by the end of the year, I'll try and do a whole review in Irish.
Oh, well.
That'll be my goal.
Oh my God, that's ambitious.
That is brilliant.
That's ambitious. Like, considering I did it in school for I don't know how many years and couldn't even pass an Irish test with you.
I know. Yeah, do you remember that? Remember we did the Irish test here?
Oh no, really?
Jim turned into a Russian.
Maybe he is. Deep down, PJ. Maybe he is.
How dare you?
Well, let's start with the Irish. Wolf is the name of the movie, and it is about a poor boy called Jacob. Now, Jacob's a little bit different to all the other boys, and so he checks himself into this facility to deal with that difference. Here's a little taste of Wolf.
Welcome, Jacob.
Species identity disorder can be cured so that a person who thinks themselves an animal can resume a happy, healthy, and rewarding life.
I want to do it. It's the best thing for everyone.
You're all gonna end up wonderful human beings.
They say the wolf and the wildcat are natural enemies. But they're wrong.
Now, hang a sec. Before you start reviewing this, I have a feeling I'm going to get a serious kicking off PJ Gallagher here.
Oh, why?
If this is about a man who's partly a wolf.
You know, Jim, he's half silverback.
Now, is that actually a thing or not? Because as you heard there, PJ, it's a real thing.
I know it is. I work with him every day.
No. A real, real
this
thing.
This was a very bad choice of movie.
No, it's a perfect choice. So this is a real disorder. And this film is based on a lady who made the film, Natalie Bianchetti. You'll see her on Nova.ie, by the way. I had a chat with her. She made a documentary and then made this fictitious but based on real things story.
Wow.
So, George McKay, the fantastic young actor, you've seen him in everything, he's a boy who thinks he's a wolf. And he goes off to this facility where there's all sorts of kiddies who think they're all sorts of animals. And you'll actually see Johnny Depp's daughter, Lily Rose Depp, playing a girlie who the wolf tends to like.
Right.
And she's a wildcat.
Oh.
So a wolf and a wildcat.
Oh, that sounds very Romeo and Juliet.
Very much so.
Yeah. Wow.
So now...
And you're saying that's a real thing.
It's
that's
a real
an identified...
thing. And I noticed you chuckling during that clip there, Jim. It is one of those films where it's all very serious and dark and mysterious, but you can't help but laugh because of the kid walking past clucking like a chicken. You know, like it is. And there's these doctors trying to treat them and it gets a bit violent and all that sort of stuff.
Wow.
Very violent, this film.
Because it's, I mean, you know, the way it was being, from the clip, it sounded a bit X-Men-y. You know what I mean? Like the sort of, like that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, it's a sort of,
Well,
I just think, I mean, come on.
Sounds like one of those funny hypnosis shows you used to go to.
I know, yeah.
You know, that's what it sounds like.
And to be fair, you know, wolf, that's kind of cool and wildcat.
And
I mean,
George looks like a wolf.
And somebody walking by, though, clucking like a chicken.
Looking like a chicken,
Like, choose a different animal, man.
Yeah.
Go for something else.
Of everything you could pick. You went for an L rooster, like...
What would you be, PJ? If we've got the gorilla in the room, what would you be?
Oh, harsh.
What would I be? Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Definitely a cock.
Probably a parrot. I just sit in Jim's work, his shoulder while he does all the work.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong.
Well, this is dark and mysterious. A little probably too mysterious because... It does do your head in a little bit. I will give it extra points for being Irish, mate. I will give it extra points for George McKay. So that takes it up to 3.5 stars.
3.5?
Yes.
Okay.
Still very keen to see it because it sounds so odd.
I have to say,
this is something for you too, I think.
I'm genuinely intrigued by this. That actually sounds good to me.
It does, yeah.
And that means you go to the cinema, guys. St. Patrick's Day holiday, cinema for you too.
Anyway, what's next on the...
We're going over the water now to... Is it okay to talk about an English film on St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, my God, sacrilege.
I mean, for God's
sake.
We can't even have that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, well, what about I tell you this? There is a lot of Guinness drinking in this movie, so that...
That'll do.
Makes it appropriate. What I'm talking about is a film based on a true story, a real thing. It's called The Phantom of the Open. It's the story of this lad... who decided, after all his years, Morris Flintroff, he thought, when he was in his 40s, that he would enter the British Open Golf. Interestingly, he'd never picked up a golf club.
Oh, my God, this sounds amazing.
It's a true story. And how did he do? Well, here's a taste.
I never even played bloody golf before, Dad.
Mind your language on the course.
F***ing hell.
It sounds professional. You sure?
Well, practice is the road to perfection.
Welcome on the tee, Morris Flintcroft.
Don't adjust the television, this is actually happening.
And it misses. Oh dear me.
How does it feel to have shot the worst round in history?
Oh my god, this sounds
fantastic.
It is, and it's 1976 when this happened, and I won't tell you too much because there is a little bit.
Okay, but is it a bit sort of Eddie the Eagle of golf?
Yes, it is. And Mark Rylance is the Morris Flintcroft, and so he's a crane operator, you know, about to lose his job, got a couple of kids living in the middle of nowhere in the UK and, you know, having a hard life, and then he becomes an international superstar, and he keeps on keeping on. Does he do so well? Well, you got a little taste there. He's not so good at the golf, but he has a good time at it.
Fair play to him getting into it. I mean, I assume you have to do some sort of qualification or whatever.
Well, back in the 70s, you didn't really, Jim.
Oh, you just had to rock up and pay your fee.
You filled in a form and he ticked a few boxes. And did anybody check the form? I mean, these days it'd be a computer doing it. But
I have to say, I saw a little trailer on TV for this, and it does look good. Because instead of it being that, you know, that kind of thing of like, oh, the, you know, came from nowhere and took over, or whatever, it's an actual, came from nowhere, it kind of ended up
kind of stayed there.
pretty much. It is a joyous comedy, like I said, set in the 70s, so a great soundtrack, fantastic songs, a little bit going off into La La Land when there's a few dream sequences, which I didn't really think need to be there. It was just a fantastic story on paper and could have been without all the airy-fairy loftiness. So that's where it loses marks. But again, I'm going 3.5 stars for The Phantom of the Open. Again, guys, it sounds like you want to see this one. Shall we go to the movies?
Anyway, that's our man at the
Thanks again, Clint.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Our man at the movies, Clint Treberg, brought to you, of course, by Manhattan Popcorn, Ireland's favourite popcorn, manhattan.ie.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Before we get out of here, though, Just, you know, in case you're in stuck for maybe a bit of St. Patrick's Day conversation when you're sitting in the pub later on, always drink responsibly. A few interesting kind of Irishy facts.
Yeah, a bit of trivia, yeah. When it comes to St. Patrick's Day. I didn't know a lot of this, like that the first St. Patrick's Day parade, for instance, never happened in Ireland. Nor did it happen on St. Patrick's Day.
What?
Yeah, it actually happened the day after. It happened on the 18th of March in Boston in 1737. That was the first St. Patrick's Day parade.
And what was the thinking behind that? They were just late, were they? They were all in the pub on Paddy's Day and couldn't get out.
Yeah, yeah, they were probably told the pub down the road is opening and they all left together. And they were walking to the next one. And then they realised we should do this every year.
Right.
I thought it was a bit of crack.
That's
maybe
extraordinary.
I know, isn't it? Yeah. And it our first one in Ireland wasn't until 1931. So it took like, what's that? Well over 100 years.
Right.
Before we had another Patrick's, before we had a parade here.
Well, and to be honest with you, most of the foreign ones are better than ours anyway.
To be fair. Do you know what I mean?
They go all out for it, like.
They go all out for it, yeah. Yeah, they do. They go all out for it. And then,
because you always notice the difference between the lads that have arrived from overseas.
Oh, the effort they put
and
in.
And then somebody that's cobbled one together here at home.
I know.
And there's like, you know, crepe paper and
that's deadly
stuff, and something's been coloured in with markers.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Like, especially if you go to the regional ones. I was in the St. Patrick's Day parade in Ratout one year riding the BMX. I it was me and the BMX club.
Right.
We were in it. And we were going up the middle of the road, you know, waving and everything. And in Dublin, they had the Harley Davidson Club. I was there going, there's a slight capacity differential here. But it was brilliant. And it was all kids in their karate suits and all.
Yeah.
The karate club were in it.
They literally, everybody gets rolled out.
Everybody gets rolled out.
If there was somebody in the place that had, like, you know, that was a particularly good pie baker, they'd be in it as well.
Yeah, of
anything at all. Just walk along holding a pie.
Yeah, yeah. Just a priest walking along the front, waving some beads over his head.
Listen, if you're heading to the parade or wherever you, whatever parade you're heading to, enjoy it. Have a fantastic St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's
Day. Happy St. Patrick's
Day,
Jim.
Thanks.
I was going to say everyone, but, you know, I mean it only to you.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.